What's happening locally? The news.
And it is time for this morning's look. Some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. The minimum wage in Panama will increase 4.5% for small and medium-sized companies and 6% for large companies, while a 7% increase is established for companies in the banana sector. The Minister of Labour and Labour Development, Doris Zapata, reported that all economic variables were taken to make this announcement to the country. Zapata explained that the average minimum wage will be $636.80 and a maximum of $1,015.03 for some sectors, such as aeronautical technicians. While the lowest rate is $341.12 for small and medium-sized businesses in the agricultural and livestock sector. Zapata reported that the increase will take effect on the 16th of January and will be paid on the last of this month. 53 wage rates apply for 73 economic activities, it was specified, and will be in force between 2024 and all of 2025. It must be remembered that the National Minimum Wage Commission was established on the 30th of August in 2023, in which for 4 months employers and workers with the mediation of Mitrodel met to analyse the economic scenarios and thus establish the minimum remuneration. However, in December, when the last meeting was held, the Minister of Labour confirmed that a consensus had not been achieved between employers and workers, so the executive proceeded to establish a salary that will govern for the years of 2024 and 2025. The Minister of the Environment, Milciades Concepcion, could not support the judge of the Supreme Court of Justice, Olmedo Arocha, why there were no inspection reports from Mi Ambiente to Minera Panama between 2022 and 2023, just when the government and the company were negotiating a new contract law that after its signing was considered unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. In a note that was dated on the 7th of November, Arocha, as the judge handling the unconstitutionality claim against the already repealed law 406 of 2023, requested from Concepcion, among other things, the log by date of the monitoring and compliance efforts carried out by Mi Ambiente to verify compliance with the environmental impact study approved in 2011 in favour of Minera Panama's Donoso project. According to the log provided by the entity to the court, the record of Mi Ambiente's inspections of the mining company lasted until August of 2021, and for that same month, La Prensa had also requested complete reports from Mi Ambiente, but it did not provide them either. The medium, La Prensa, asked the minister about the pending inspections, despite the multiple findings of non-compliance in the recent past, but silence prevailed. In the Ministry of the Environment, Mi Ambiente, there are no records of inspections between 2022 and 2023 at Cobre Panama, despite recurring findings of possible environmental damage in the areas surrounding the mining project and in the work area. Now, since last November, La Prensa requested these reports from Minister Concepcion, but they have not been delivered. Mi Ambiente reports from 2011 to 2021 describe possible worrying environmental non-compliance in the Mesoamerican Biological Corridor, which, however, would have been ignored by the Cabinet Council when approving a new contract with Minera Panama last June. The Supreme Court of Justice declared the contract adopted through Law 406 of 2023 unconstitutional at the end of last November. And Minera Panama reported on Wednesday that it will present a preliminary draft for the initial phase of the Preservation and Safe Management Plan for the Donoso Mine province of Colón as part of the project closure process. In a statement, the subsidiary company of First Quantum Minerals explained that the plan will be delivered within a period of 10 business days requested by the Ministry of Commerce and Industries on the 29th of December. Compliance Judge James Corro decreed non-compliance by the Odebrecht company with the payments corresponding to the year 2023, which were part of the $220 million fine agreed in 2017 for the payment of bribes to obtain contracts with the state. In a hearing that began on Wednesday, the 10th of January at 10:45 a.m., Prosecutor Jojaria Gonzalez from the Compliance Prosecutor's Office assured that Odebrecht failed to pay the annual fee for 2023, which is for the sum of $18.33 million, plus the payment of $916,666, which corresponds to 5% of the interest for late payment. Prosecutor Gonzalez alleged that the entire amount of the fine not paid in 2023 amounts to $19,249,000 and that the company must find a way to catch up. To date, Odebrecht has only paid $71.35 million of the $220 million, and that was applied by the Second Liquidation Court for Criminal Cases. For Odebrecht, bribes of 25 people, including former presidents Ricardo Martinelli and Juan Carlos Varela, accused of alleged money laundering, will be tried from July the 15th to August the 23rd of this year. Since 2019, the Brazilian company Odebrecht has been behind in payments of that $220 million fine that was imposed by a court as a result of its connection with the payment of bribes to officials to obtain infrastructure works. Therefore, the Anti-Corruption Prosecutor's Office has asked compliance judges to order the withholding of payments to public companies that maintain contracts with that construction company and that said funds be paid towards the payment of the fine. The former governor of Coclay, Richard Pfeiffer, was sent to Tinajitas prison to serve a 120-month prison sentence for the crime of aggravated fraud against the company Red Dragon Capital Management. Sources close to the process revealed that Pfeiffer was transferred to the Tinajitas Re-socialization Center for meeting the necessary criteria to participate in social rehabilitation programs carried out in the said penitentiary center. According to Resolution Number 1954-DGSPDAL of August the 24th of 2023, the Directorate of the Penitentiary System determined that Tinajitas, in addition to being a temporary detention centre, could also house inmates who were serving sentences as long as they complied with the profile required to participate in social reintegration processes. Pfeiffer was arrested last Saturday, the 6th of January, in a checkpoint in Costa Rica, approximately 50 kilometres from the border with Panama. At the time of his arrest, Pfeiffer claimed to be a U.S. citizen and showed his passport to the Costa Rican authorities. However, upon presenting the Panama exit stamp, he was returned to the Paso Canoas border post and handed over to agents of the National Border Service, Cenafront. This was where it was verified that he had an arrest warrant issued by the First Case Liquidation Court. Now, on January the 24th, the former governor must face a trial for the alleged commission of the crime of illegal withholding of worker employer fees. The felling of the trees on East 53rd Street in Marbella, Bella Vista District shows a series of contradictions in the decision adopted by the Mayor's Office of Panama, led by José Luis Fábrega. The Mayor's Office of Panama, through a press release, justified the logging under the argument of guaranteeing the safety of pedestrians. Now, furthermore, it alleges that in a phytosanitary inspection and analysis of the growth of the roots of the trees located parallel to the sidewalks, it was determined that their removal was necessary because they did not have enough space for their development and that they considerably affected traffic on the sidewalks. However, during a visit by La Prensa to the area in question, it was observed that the roots of these trees of the Juvia A auto species, which can reach between 8 to 10 metres high, were not affecting the sidewalk to any great extent. A few steps away was an advertising sign. Well, Xochitl Troncoso, architect and president of the Urban Citizen Network of Panama, an organisation that brings together several communities in the district of Panama, stated that once again Mayor Fabrega demonstrates his contempt for pedestrians, citizens and the city. When many cities in the world have understood and applied knowledge to improve the city, this local government administration, on the contrary, in each of its actions creates more problems for us. The result is that there is no coherence in the pyramid of urban circulation priorities, urban mobility, the urban mobility pyramid as it's referred to. The absence of architectural, urban and environmental landscaping to create quality spaces. We do not have changes for the better, but more detriment in public spaces, it was stated. The former Director of Environmental Management for the Mayor's Office of Panama, Ennio Arcia, recommended to the authorities that the technical report that Fabrega invokes to cut down the trees in Marbella be published. Arcia shared the X platform that the damage to the sidewalk was minor and that probably the greatest damage is to the drainage. Well, the urban architect and university professor, Alberto Rosamena, explained that the Cania fistula species, or simply Cassia fistula, was planted in Panama City in the 1940s, specifically in the La Exposito neighborhood and in part of the East 53rd Street of Obarrio in the late 1920s or early 1980s in the easement area. They explain that the root system is semi-deep to deep, which is why it is excellent to be planted in avenues, parking lots and within public easements, since its roots, being deep, do not damage the sidewalks. Its growth is normal with a globose crown, which allows light filtration, projecting a semi-shade on the sidewalks where the pedestrians walk daily. Its fragility is of, well, a medium degree. In Rosamena's opinion, it does not make sense to carry out this felling, and he considered that residents, garden clubs and national nurseries should be invited to donate about 10 seedlings of the same species. This would avoid altering the appearance of the urban landscape in this vehicular artery. In addition, it is proposed to proceed with the planting where the trees were that were cut down without any technical and scientific basis or support, with a view to planning this city as an integrated system of green areas where trees and man are in first order. Well, on that, that's what I look for this morning. Those are some of the local news stories compiled for you on this morning's programme.